It's Traveler versus the Volcano for at least another day.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. That spreading Icelandic ash cloud will be stopping flights to airports in the UK and other European countries until sometime tomorrow at the earliest. Meanwhile, the skies here at home are buzzing with talk of a new airline merger. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. Jeremy, who might merge?
Well, remember, Bill, there was talk last week that United was talking about a merger with U.S. Airways?
Yes.
Well, now it seems those conversations may have just been an attempt by United to get Continental interested in a merger, one that would create the largest airline in the world, which is a title that's currently held by Delta following its merger with Northwest.
So why does United want to team up with Continental?
Well, one reason is cost savings, perhaps $2 billion in additional revenue, according to one airline analyst. The other thing is global reach, which is something that's very important to these airlines looking to attract those big spending business travelers. Continental has a big presence in Latin America and Europe. United has a lot of flights to Asia, so they would complement each other very well. If they do end up merging, though, Bill, there will be a big question about the future of U.S. Airways and whether it can survive as a little player among much larger rivals.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Jeremy, thank you.
Thanks.
The Federal Trade Commission meets today to ask, should consumer electronics carry energy labels? Shoppers for computers and TVs often have to guess which gadgets guzzle electricity. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll reports.
Most consumers shopping for a new fridge might not notice the little yellow sticker on the side. That energy guide label breaks out the average cost of running that home appliance for a year. But TVs and computers don't sport those labels. That's because in the past, differences between models were slight. Jennifer Amon is with the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. She says times have changed.
You have products on the market today that for the same size television, you could have the least efficient product using four times the energy consumption of the most efficient product.
Dmitry Malchinov is an analyst with the Yankee Group. He says these days energy efficiency is a top priority for consumers.
It's a difficult economy at this point, and I think consumers are realizing that energy efficient appliances will save them money in the long term.
Utilities could also offer rebates to consumers for buying more energy efficient models. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Now a quick check of the numbers. Stocks in Asia fell today on fears that recovery will mean inflation and higher interest rates. European shares are flat, while the Dow stands at 11,144 after yesterday's 21-point gain.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
The Democrats' push to overhaul the financial regulatory system could hit the Senate floor next week. But can Congress really prevent another bust or another Wall Street bailout? My guest is Roger Lowenstein, whose new book is called The End of Wall Street. Good morning.
Bill, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
By End of Wall Street, you're talking about the end of an era when we trusted Wall Street to regulate itself.
That's right. The end of the Wall Street when we trusted bankers to set their own limits on debt. The end of the period when, as we remember, we thought the Fed had figured out how to just keep the economy smooth sailing onto some magical horizon in the future.
But now, Roger, banks have repaid their bailout money. The economy seems to be recovering. Stocks are back up. Are you still sure that Wall Street's heyday is over?
Well, some of the banks have repaid their money, not all of them. The real estate markets, which, after all, where this problem really started, are still having a lot of trouble. It's not clear at all that we're out of those woods yet. And it certainly looks like the government is going to be more in the middle of the financial industry than it was before.
What do you think of the financial reform proposals in Congress now?
I think there's some good ideas. I think they try to do a few too many things. For instance, they try to create a new systemic risk regulator that's going to warn us in the future, advise the Fed. I'm not sure why we need two bodies, this body and the Fed. Adding another body, I think, might tend to create just another layer.
That brings up something I've wondered about. I keep hearing that, well, we've learned we can't trust the Fed, or we can't trust the SEC or these regulators or these ratings agencies. But given the fiasco we've just been through, is it not possible that the Fed and these regulators could have a new mandate and new powers now? Could they be more effective?
Bankers make mistakes. Regulators make mistakes. What I would want to see, the new mandate in the legislation, is some speed limits so that when they make mistakes, they're not as harmful, the same way we have speed limits on highways. And I think the big speed limit we want is a limit on leverage, a limit on how much every financial firm can borrow.
But you wouldn't go as far as breaking up the big banks?
You know, I'm not afraid of big banks. I'm afraid of unsound banks. I'm afraid of overly leveraged banks. The risk, this little financial product subsidiary of AIG, you know, nobody was paying attention to that beforehand. It's leverage that'll kill you.
Roger Lowenstein is the author of The End of Wall Street. Thanks for being with us.
It was a pleasure to be on the show.
And finally, here's the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Traveling to or from Europe is rough. An Icelandic volcano is spewing out stuff that makes flying an airplane mechanically tough. Iceland, haven't you done quite enough? Another hit to the solar plexus for Toyota, the owner of Lexus. Take a turn sharply in their SUV and your wheels could end up where your roof ought to be. Retail sales up, but inflation is not. Modifications to loans have done squat to keep housing foreclosures from going berserk. The Wi-Fi on iPads appears not to work. Corporate earnings turned out swell for both Intel and Taco Bell and JP Morgan Chase as well. Not Alcoa, their stock fell. But UPS had great success, and Conan said yes to TBS because Fox impressed him less, I guess. While you're waiting for Coco's return to TV, watch The Minute at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.